Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents Key Performance Indicators, Developing, Implementing, and Using Winning KPIs, 3rd edition, by David Parmenter, narrated by Liam Gerrard. Publisher's note, this audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material. All exhibits and appendices referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Preface. Why this book should interest you. Performance measurement is failing organizations worldwide, whether they are multinationals, government departments, or non-profit agencies. The measures that have been adopted were dreamed up without any linkage to the critical success factors of the organizations. Often these measures are monthly or quarterly. Management reviews them and says, that was a good quarter, or that was a bad month. Performance measures should help your organization align daily activities to the organization's strategic objectives. This book has been written to assist organizations with developing, implementing, and using winning key performance indicators, KPIs, those performance measures that will make a profound difference. Major benefits of getting KPIs to work. The major benefits of performance measures can be grouped and discussed under these three headings. 1. The alignment and linking daily actions to the critical success factors of the organization. 2. Improving performance. 3. Creating wider ownership, empowerment, and fulfillment. Alignment and linking daily actions to the critical success factors of the organization. As Exhibit P1 shows, even though an organization has a strategy, teams are often working in directions very different from the intended course. Performance measures should have been carefully developed from the organization's critical success factors. The critical success factors will help staff align their daily activities with the organization's critical success factors, as shown in Exhibit P2. This behavioral alignment is often the missing link between good and great organizations. In his book, Transforming Performance Measurement, Dean Spitzer points out that one of the most important roles of management is to communicate expectations to the workforce. He goes on to say, people will do what management inspects, measures, not necessarily what management expects. Thus, we need to put in place the right measures. KPIs are the only things that truly link day-to-day performance in the workplace to the organization's critical success factors. Some people think that because the annual planning process comes from a medium-term view, called the development plan in Exhibit P3, which in turn is linked to the strategic plan, strategy is linked to day-to-day activities. It looks good on paper, but never works in practice. Strategy is broad and wide-ranging, whereas annual planning is a dysfunctional silo-based process. Improving performance. Performance measures can and should have a profound impact on performance. Measurement tends to make things happen. It helps people see progress and motivates action. Increases visibility of a more balanced performance and focuses attention on what matters. Increases objectivity. Dean Spitzer points out that staff actually like measuring and even like being measured, but they do not like being judged subjectively. Improves your understanding, your decision-making, and execution. Spitzer points out that you will not be able to execute well, consistently, without measurement. Measurement can improve your business intuition and significantly increase your decision-making batting average. Improves consistency of performance. Spitzer has stated that outstanding success is about consistent success over the long term. Facilitates feedback on how things are going, thereby providing early warning signals to management. Helps the organization become future-ready by encouraging timely feedback, looking forward by measuring future events, For example, a CEO should look weekly at the list of celebrations or recognitions scheduled for the next 2 weeks, encouraging innovation, abandonment of the broken, and supporting winning management habits such as recognition, training, and mentoring. Creating wider ownership, empowerment, and fulfillment. Peter Drucker talked about leadership being very much like an orchestra conductor, giving the general direction and the timing, and leaving the execution to the experts, the players. Performance measures communicate what needs to be done and help staff understand what is required. They enable leaders to give the general direction and let the staff make the daily decisions to ensure progress is made appropriately. This shift to training and trusting staff to make the right calls is very much the Toyota way. Any incorrect decision is seen as a fault in training rather than with the individual. The delegation of authority to the front line is one of the main foundation stones of KPIs. Refer to Chapter 7. This issue was discussed at great length in Peters and Waterman's In Search of Excellence. I have yet to meet a human being who desires failure or finds failure rewarding. Where measures are appropriately set, staff will be motivated to succeed. Kaizen and this KPI book. Kaizen states that innovation is a daily activity. This third edition of my KPI book is my contribution to continuous improvement. It includes the latest evolution of my thinking, which, between editions, is recorded in my KPI white papers. This book is designed to help those project managers who are about to embark on a KPI project, as well as help senior management understand why they need to revisit their measures. The new content in this third edition is set out in Exhibit P4. Barriers to KPIs working properly. Since I wrote the first edition of this book, I have become acutely aware of the reasons why KPIs are failing. This third edition is my latest attempt to circumnavigate around the negative forces that are not only limiting the effectiveness of KPIs, but are inhibiting many enterprises from becoming future-ready. Myths surrounding KPIs. Before we can enter into the discussion of implementing KPIs, we need first to examine why you want performance measures in your organization. There can be many reasons, and some will most certainly lead to failure. Thus, I have looked at some of the myths around performance measurement. One main factor is a lack of understanding of the myths surrounding performance measures. Just like 6 centuries ago when the belief that the world was flat held back progress, we are blindly applying old thinking to how we measure, monitor, and improve performance. Refer to Chapter 2 on the myths of performance measurement. Unintended behavior, the dark side of performance measures. Measurement initiatives are often cobbled together without the knowledge of the organization's critical success factors and without an understanding of the behavioral consequences of a measure. Chapter 3 explains that every performance measure has a dark side, a negative consequence. The key is to understand it. Well over half the measures in an organization may be encouraging unintended behavior. This book will repeatedly drive home the importance of understanding this dark side and selecting fewer measures, as well as selecting those with a minimal negative consequence. How performance measures can go wrong can be illustrated by the train service and hospital stories featured in Chapter 3. The misuse of KPIs in performance-related pay. KPIs are frequently used in performance-related pay contracts. This turns the measure into a key political indicator, one which will be manipulated. In Chapter 2, I will address why KPIs, as defined in this book, should be tickets to the game and never part of a reward structure. In Appendix A, I set out my thoughts on the foundation stones of performance-related pay. Reasons that the traditional balanced scorecard approach has failed. Nobody has done more than Kaplan and Norton to ensure that strategy is balanced, well thought through, and its implementation is monitored and managed. The Harvard Business School paper was a masterpiece, and the following book, The Balanced Scorecard, translating strategy into action, a classic from inception. As a writer, I can appreciate the Herculean effort Kaplan and Norton undertook to amass so much case study material in such a short time. However, I have been concerned for over 10 years now as to why so many balanced scorecard implementations fail to deliver when the concept of implementing strategy and having a balanced performance is surely a given with most of us. I address for the first time the main differences between the winning KPIs and the balanced scorecard methodologies. I will also discuss my reasoning for the balanced scorecard failure rate and argue that the balanced scorecard fraternity needs to update their methodology. Refer to Chapter 18. Changes in winning KPI methodology. There have been some significant advancements in the methodology, and these, I hope, will increase the momentum within enterprises to adopt KPIs that will help them flourish. More emphasis on ascertaining the critical success factors. I was first introduced to critical success factors, CSFs, by the talented people who wrote the KPI manual for Oz Industry, an Australian government department. They defined critical success factors as the list of issues or aspects of organisational performance that determine ongoing health, vitality, and well-being. In Chapter 2, the common myth that performance measures are mainly used to help manage implementation of strategic initiatives was highlighted. Instead, I believe the main purpose of performance measures is to ensure that staff members spend their working hours focused primarily on the organisation's CSFs. Not knowing your organisation's CSFs is like going to soccer's World Cup without a goalkeeper, or at best, an incompetent one. You can do it yourself, but you will not succeed. In Chapter 11, I discuss the revised process to ascertain an enterprise's CSFs. More examples to aid with finding your critical success factors. Through working on in-house workshops with clients, I have been able to observe the issues in the KPI methodology that may have initially been confusing. In client workshops, I have been able to observe where clients have modified the methodology to make it work in-house. I am grateful for this opportunity to learn and share their wisdom in this new edition. Critical success factors are operationally focused. Recently, I have realised the importance of emphasising that critical success factors are operationally focused. A board of a charity rightly pointed out that the CSFs tabled to them were too internally focused. They wanted to see, understandably, the external picture, the external CSFs. The board was naturally looking from outside in. The board needed the external CSFs expressed as outcomes and impacts they want to see. We want the organisation to deliver this or to deliver that. We will then know that the organisation's strategy has been implemented successfully. These statements, while commendable, must be separated from the CSFs. Their success will be a direct result of staff delivering day in, day out on the operational critical success factors. This recent clarification has fixed an issue I have noted in a number of in-house workshops I have run, where there was a mix of operational CSFs and outcomes, impacts. This distinction is important, and while at first an added complication, it is worth the effort to understand and execute. Refer to Chapter 11 for more detail. A simplified 6-stage methodology, which incorporates the original 12 steps. In the first 2 editions of my KPI book, I talked about a 12-step process that should be put into an organisation with over 500 full-time employees within a 16-week timeframe. See Exhibit P5. I also gave a shorter version with a 6-week timeframe for organisations with less than 200 FTEs, where there is a motivated CEO and senior management team. I was asked by clients to further simplify the process, and I used the pretext of the third edition to rethink the approach to make it more user-friendly. The new model incorporates the 12 steps in a 6-stage process. See Exhibit P6. Substantial change to the foundation stones of a KPI project. There are a number of foundation stones that need to be laid before we can commence a KPI project and give it a chance of success. Success is determined by the presence and state of these 7 foundation stones underpinning the KPI stages. See Exhibit P7. Abandon processes that do not deliver. The need for this foundation stone came about as a result of fervently reading Peter Drucker's work. I knew, if I really understood his work, I would be able to improve my understanding of performance management. Of all his legendary insights, abandonment stands head and shoulders above them all. Drucker saw abandonment as the vital source, the foundation of innovation. Abandonment is a sign that management is recognizing that some initiatives will never work as intended, and it is better to face this reality sooner than later. It is essential that the organization has freed up enough time to give the KPI project team and the attendant balance scorecard the time and commitment they deserve. Appoint an in-house chief measurement officer. There needs to be a new approach to measurement, one that is done by staff who have been suitably trained, an approach that is consultative, promotes partnership between staff and management, and finally, achieves behavioural alignment to the organisation's critical success factors and strategic direction. I have been working with performance measures for many years and have spent untold hours endeavouring to unlock their secrets. Over the years, one thing has become abundantly clear, that you need a measurement expert in-house. Dean Spitzer called this the Chief Measurement Officer. I have now emphasised the significance of this position by making it a non-negotiable foundation stone, and I have explained why this person needs to be an in-house appointee. Refer to chapters 7 and 9. Organisation-wide understanding of winning KPIs definition. After working over 20 years on what makes KPIs work, I have realised that unless the organisation embraces the new definition of what a KPI is and what it is not, the progress will be limited very quickly. I have found repeatedly that, once an organisation has held the 2-day critical success factor workshop, staff who have gone back to their offices soon start to call all measures KPIs again. It is vital that the senior management team, led by the CEO, communicate the new meaning of a KPI, and that all branches of the term KPI are quickly picked up and staff and managers corrected. Chief Measurement Officer's Toolkit. With all my books, there is a heavy focus on implementation. My role, as I see it, is to prepare the route forward, to second-guess the barriers the KPI team will need to cross, and set out the major tasks they will need to undertake. Naturally, each implementation will reflect the organisation's culture, future-ready status, the level of commitment from the CEO and the senior management team, and the expertise of the in-house staff selected to run this project. I have provided templates to be read and used in conjunction with key performance indicators, developing, implementing, and using Winning KPIs, 3rd edition. Case studies. To assist implementation, I have further developed the lessons from KPI implementations I have been privileged to witness as an observer. Common CSFs and their relevant measures. Although organisations need to go through the processes suggested in this book, I am always asked to give examples of common CSFs and their related performance measures. In Chapter 17, I set out a table of common CSFs and the key result indicators, KRIs, result indicators, RIs, performance indicators, PIs, and some key performance indicators, KPIs, that would work. Comparison to other methodologies. I have compared, in Chapter 18, the Winning KPIs methodology to Kaplan and Norton's Balanced Scorecard, Stacey Barr's PUMP, and Paul Niven's Balanced Scorecard. I have also highlighted important sections of their work that the listener is advised to access. Chief Measurement Officer Job Description. To aid KPI projects, I have, with Dean Spitzer's help, set out a Chief Measurement Officer's job description. See Appendix B. I firmly believe that KPIs will only truly function when an organisation commits to establishing and assigning some in-house talent into the chief measurement officer's role. Table of Performance Measures. As with earlier editions, I have provided over 200 performance measures in a table. See Appendix E. This table is a listing of performance measures to help start this process off. It will be a valuable resource when looking at performance measures during workshop sessions. Some of the performance measures in this list will be performance indicators, PIs, result indicators, RI, key performance indicators, KPIs, and key result indicators, KRIs. It is up to the KPI project team to ascertain in which of the four categories the final set of performance measures should be placed. Leading and selling change. I have put much more effort in explaining this important area and have embraced John Cotter's work. A greater emphasis on the sales process. Many initiatives fail, not because they were not needed or meaningful, but because the hearts and minds of the senior management team, managers and staff had not been engaged adequately. I have provided a full chapter, refer to Chapter 10, on selling from the preparation of an elevator speech to the compelling presentation to the senior management team. I have also included in Appendix C a section from my management book that covers over 25 tips to enhance selling change presentations. PowerPoint sales pitches. To aid listeners, I have provided some free PowerPoint presentations on my website, kpi.davidparmenter.com/3rd edition. Electronic media available. To support you implementing the strategies and better practices in this book, the following electronic media are available, some for a small fee. Webcasts and recorded presentations. See www.davidparmenter.com/webcasts. Some of these are free to everyone, and some are accessed via a third party for a fee. A PDF of the checklists, draft agendas, questionnaires, and worksheets from chapters 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 15 is available from kpi.davidparmenter.com/3rd edition. The website will refer to a word from this book, which you need to use as a password. The electronic versions of all the templates and most of the report formats featured in the book can be purchased from www.davidparmenter.com. Part 1. Setting the Scene. Chapter 1. The Great KPI Misunderstanding. Overview. Many companies are working with the wrong measures, many of which are incorrectly termed key performance indicators, KPIs. It is a myth to consider all performance measures to be KPIs. This chapter explores how the four types of performance measures differ with examples of each type. The seven characteristics of KPIs are defined. The confusion over whether measures are lead or lag indicators is addressed. The questions, how many measures should we have, and how many of each measure type, are answered. The importance of timely measurement is also covered. Many organisations are working with the wrong measures, many of which are incorrectly termed key performance indicators, KPIs. I believe it is a myth to consider all performance measures to be KPIs. From my research over the past 25 years, I have come to the conclusion that there are four types of performance measures. These four measures are in two groups, result indicators and performance indicators. I use the term result indicators to reflect the fact that many measures are a summation of more than one team's input. These measures are useful in looking at the combined teamwork, but, unfortunately, do not help management fix a problem, as it is difficult to pinpoint which teams were responsible for the performance or non-performance. Performance indicators, on the other hand, are measures that can be tied to a team or a cluster of teams working closely together for a common purpose. Good or bad performance is now the responsibility of one team. These measures thus give clarity and ownership. With both these measures, some are more important, so we use the extra word key. Thus, We now have two measures for each measure type. 1. Key Result Indicators, KRIs, give the board an overall summary of how the organisation is performing. 2. Result Indicators, RIs, tell management how teams are combining to produce results. 3. Performance Indicators, PIs, tell management what teams are delivering. 4. Key Performance Indicators, KPIs, tell management how the organisation is performing in their critical success factors, and, by monitoring them, management is able to increase performance dramatically. Many performance measures used by organisations are, therefore, an inappropriate mix of these four types. First, I describe each type of measure. Key Result Indicators. What are Key Result Indicators, KRIs? KRIs are measures that often have been mistaken for KPIs. The common characteristic of these measures is that they are the result of many actions carried out by many teams, hence the use of the term result, and they are good summary measures, hence the term key. They give a clear picture of whether your organisation is travelling in the right direction at the right speed. They provide the board or governing body with a good overview as to progress with regard to the organisation's strategy. These measures are easy to ascertain and are frequently reported already to the board or governing body. The fact that key result indicators are called KPIs creates a problem that many organisations do not appreciate. They cannot understand why performance ebbs and flows and appears outside the control of the senior management team. These key result indicators, that are reviewed typically on monthly or quarterly cycles, will only tell you whether the horse has bolted or not. Key result indicators are thus of little or no use to management, as they are reported too late to change direction, nor do they tell you what you need to do to improve these results. You know you have a KRI when the CEO is in reality the person ultimately responsible for the measure. For the private sector, key result indicators would include net profit before tax, net profit on key product lines, customer satisfaction by customer group, showing the trend over an 18-month period, return on capital employed, employee satisfaction by groups, showing the trend over an 18-month period. For government and non-profit agencies, these measures would also include availability of the major services we offered, for example, average waiting time for service, on-time implementation of infrastructure projects, membership numbers for professional organisations. Separating KRIs from other measures has a profound impact on reporting, resulting in a separation of performance measures into those impacting governance and those impacting management. Accordingly, an organisation should have a governance report, ideally in a dashboard format, consisting of up to 10 KRIs for the board and a series of management reports reporting progress in various intervals during the month depending on the significance of the measure. Result Indicators. The result indicators, RIs, summarise the activity of more than one team. They are good to review as an overview of how teams are working together. The difference between a key result indicator and a result indicator is simply that the key result indicator is a more overall and more important summary of activities that have taken place. When you look at a financial measure, you will note that you have put a value to various activities that have taken place. In other words, financial indicators are a result of activities. I thus believe all financial performance measures are RIs. Daily or weekly sales analysis is a very useful summary, but it is a result of the effort of a number of teams, from the sales team to the teams involved in manufacture, quality assurance and dispatch. Financial indicators are useful, but mask the real drivers of the performance. To fully understand what to increase or decrease, we need to look at the activities that created the financial indicator. Result indicators look at activity over a wider time horizon. They not only measure quarterly and monthly results, but also weekly, daily activities and future planned events. For example, sales made yesterday, number of planned initiatives to be implemented next month to improve the timeliness of planes. For the private sector, Result indicators that lie beneath KRIs could include sales made yesterday, number of initiatives implemented from the
sample complete. Ready to continue?